Good morning. It's good to see you today. If you would, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and in a moment we'll read the passage this morning. And I was just thinking this morning as I was standing on the front row that 2020 has been just an incredible year. You know, I think of all the pastors that had the 2020 vision, you know, the plans that they had made for the church and all the ideas that they had come up with. And I mean, if there's ever been a year where we were using new terms like pivot and game changer or the new normal, 2020 definitely fits that bill, right? And, you know, we're about to, on this coming Tuesday, we're gonna vote in a new president, Lord willing. We'll figure out how that all fleshes out this week. But at the end of the day, regardless of who's in the White House, we know that God is in control. Amen. And I just want to remind the church today that regardless of what happens on Tuesday, as followers of Jesus, let's not lose our mind. Amen? Let's not lose our mind, and let's not take to Facebook and, you know, complain about the results of the election and all the different things that happened this week. Let's continue, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 1:27, to walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Christians today, we live for another world. We live for eternity. We live for a kingdom that's to come. And at the end of the day, as things get worse, we know that Jesus is going to soon return. And so that ought to be a reminder to us that the soon return of Jesus Christ is getting closer each and every day. In the midst of COVID, God is still at work. He's at work. He's at work here at Southgate. In Chicago today, our youth pastor's preaching for the first time at Jackson Creek, and I'm so excited for him. One of the young men that God gave me the privilege of mentoring in the ministry over the last several years. He was a young man in our church that went to Bible college, came and got a job in our area, and over time we groomed him and hired him from within our own ministry, and today he's preaching. And so God's at work, right? Amen. And then I think about John Jew, a church planter in Chicago, who before we left, I was helping to do some work with North American Mission Board. And in the midst of COVID, right, in the midst of a pandemic that you would think, like, who in their right mind would plant a church in the middle of a pandemic? My friend John Jew is doing that. He's doing that. He started last week. Amen? And so God's at work. My friend Tommy Thompson in Chicago and Ashburn, they planted an Arabic church. They opened a new campus in Chicago, and so basically during the COVID in the last 9 months, they've launched two churches within their ministry. And friends, I want to share that with you just to remind you that no matter what setbacks we think that are in front of us, God uses those for setups for something great down the line. And that's ultimately what we want to talk about this morning, and we want to consider what it means to have a focused faith. I mean, with everything going on, and it seems like all of these different problems that we face in our life pull us in so many directions. And last week, we talked about the hindrances to our faith. We talked about all the things that were happening in our life that we would consider or that we perceive that are holding us back from really getting after it. And I wonder, right? I wonder sometimes, why is it that some people really excel in their faith and they really grow in their faith, and others just kind of live in mediocrity? Others just kind of allow for the status quo. Others allow for those setbacks to define them. And yet, when most people are really moving forward in their faith and they're doing something significant for God, it's at the end of the day simply because they're not focused on the problem, but they're focused on the person and the power of God. And so I want to ask you, did you take steps in your faith this week? Is your faith getting stronger or is your faith getting weaker? And I just believe that God's purpose with those hindrances that you might be facing right now, and I certainly don't want to minimize the issues going on in your life, but they're there to show us where our faith is, where it's at, and ultimately what it can be. And so I want us to look in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, they, being the children of Israel, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel again grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord." Does this sound familiar? by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat in the morning and bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, again, what are we? And I underscore this in my Bible. Your grumbling is not against us, but it's against the Lord. Verse number 9, then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. Now, Father in heaven, I need your help this morning. And God, I just pray that you would help us as a church to go deeper with you today. I pray that we would be a people governed by the Word of God, that we'd be a people that know and love and are seeking to do your will, Lord, and that no matter what problems we face, that we might find the purpose in all of it as we seek to obey your word and accomplish your will in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning, we want to understand and learn what it takes to see our faith deepen. I mean, wouldn't you like to know what it means to have a deeper faith? I mean, a faith that's really rooted in the Word of God, a faith that's governed by the Word of God, a faith that to some degree is unshakable and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, no matter what comes your way and no matter what 2021 holds for any of us, wouldn't you like to know that I have a faith, or that you have a faith that's going to stand the test of time? Amen? Wouldn't you like to have that? Well, the Word of God speaks to that this morning. And so the big idea is this morning: a deeper faith is a dependent faith, which then leads to a durable faith. A deeper faith is a dependent faith. It's not something that we can just, you know, conjure up. It's not something that we just have. No, a deeper faith is a dependent faith, and that then leads to a durable faith. Now, on our journey, God is calling on us to depend on Him. And we can't do that if we're focused on our problems. Are you with me? We can't grow in our faith if we're focused on our problems and not on God. Faith grows durable in difficulty. Don't let your difficulties drive you away from God. Oftentimes, and I've seen this so many times in church, where someone has a major life issue come up in their life, and rather than that issue driving them closer to God, it pushes them away from God. I don't know what the rest of this year holds, but I know that God wants to deepen your faith. I know that we often want deliverance. We want relief. I don't want this cancer. I don't want to go through this divorce. I don't want my kids to act like this. I don't want to lose my job. We want the deliverance. We want what God can do. But oftentimes, we don't want the deliverer. We don't want Him. And so this morning, that's what the children of Israel are finding out, that God was offering them something so much more than food and bread. I mean, Jesus talked about that in the New Testament when he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And while bread is kind of an important thing, I mean, if you know me, I love to eat. Can I get a witness? I've been to almost every barbecue in Springfield in the last 2 weeks. I've been trying them out. I've got a list. I'm, you know, marking them from best to worst, and I'm going to throw my Yelp reviews up. I love to eat. And if I miss a meal, I mean, you'd think that I had been starving myself for 40 days and 40 nights. You know? I mean, I love to eat, so I'm not trying to minimize that. But oftentimes we want the deliverance and not the deliverer. And when life is uncertain, we can cling to the faithfulness of God. There have been times in my life when I've struggled and other times when I was strengthened. I don't do well with uncertainty, and I'm certainly not the most patient person in the world. I mean, I get stressed out because it takes more than 2 minutes for a Hot Pocket to get ready. You know what I'm saying? Patience isn't my gift. Let's get on with it, right? Maybe you too have struggled with that. Maybe you've struggled to trust God. But I want you to know that a focused faith is the key to a life of blessing. A focused faith is the key to a life of blessing. And as we read in God's word, we see over and over how God's people missed out on his blessing because they chose to trust him in the uncertain times. They didn't choose, or they chose not to trust him in those uncertain times. You see, in a moment of desperation, and you might find yourself in that moment today. In a moment of desperation, the people of God, they doubted God. They doubted him. Let me ask you this morning, what are you going to do in your moment of desperation? Because it's coming. My wife's grandfather, he was a preacher, and he used to say, storm clouds are coming. And one day they're going to be over your house. And right now you're either in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go through a storm. All of us find ourselves in one of those three moments. And so what will you do in your moment of desperation? What have you done in the past? I mean, you've got to love the word of God. You've got to love the story. Because over and over again, we see in the Bible that it doesn't gloss over the unfaithfulness of the people of God, their lack of faith in God. It shows the real struggle that they faced, and it helps us to identify the very struggles that we're going to face and the struggles that we're going through. And I know this, that whenever we face difficulty, our tendency is to want to run for cover or to retreat. I mean, are you like that? When things get really rough, right? You want to run for cover or you want to retreat. And that's why addiction is so high in our culture today. That's why people drink. That's why people do drugs. That's why I Netflix. You know what I'm saying? When I get stressed out, I just binge watch Netflix, right? I'll go through a pack of Nutty Bars, you know? I mean, for me, that'll just numb the pain for me. But in all reality, it certainly doesn't help me go deeper with God. It's not going to help you go deeper with God. And so it's in times of uncertainty that we can focus our faith on God. He is the object of our faith, and he can bear the weight of our problems and our weaknesses. And so let me give you a couple thoughts this morning from this text that I think will help us all. Number one, when you focus on the problem, it will devour your faith. And we see that in verses 1-8. If you're just going to focus on the problem, and you're going to allow the entirety of your being to be focused on the problem that's in front of you rather than the God above you, it's going to devour your faith. Complaining again, I said it last week, and man, I want to say it again. Complaining never solves anything. All of God's people said, it doesn't solve anything. And again, we see the people of God complaining about their situation. Oh man, we'd rather be slaves back in Egypt rather than trust God with our lives. What causes us to complain? What causes us to focus on our problems rather than on God? I think one of the things is forgetfulness. In verse number 1, the Bible says they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. Now listen, I don't know if you know what that means, but it means this. They were only, listen to this, they were only 2 months out from the events of the Red Sea, and already they'd forgotten what God did to preserve them. Look in chapter 15, verse 22. In verse 22, it says, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went out from the wilderness of Shur, and they went, listen to this, 3 days in the wilderness. Now check this out. 3 days out from the Red Sea, they come to a place, and guess what they need? They need water. And they come to the place of Marah. And Marah, they tried to drink the water, and it was so bitter, they spit it out, and they complained again to Moses and to Aaron. And so God just says, throw a log in the river. He throws a piece of wood, and they start drinking. It's the sweetest water they've ever tasted in their lives. They forgot. I think focusing on the problem that devours our faith is caused by forgetfulness, but I also think it's caused by short-sightedness, and we see that in verses number 8 through 11. Israel was looking at life horizontally. I mentioned this last week, instead of vertically. If they would have just looked up, they would have seen the presence of God. And listen, our impatience for a solution causes us to focus on the problem rather than the process. Focusing on the problem rather than the process. And we want a solution. We just want to get out of this. And so short-sightedness will cause us to look at our circumstances rather than to see the cloud of God's glory, his presence right in front of our face. It's in your darkest hour. Derek and the worship team sang about that this morning. Listen, in your darkest hour, God is near. He is near. God is near. And so the desire for temporary and immediate comfort, listen to this, it'll choke your faith out. The desire for immediate comfort, Immediate relief. It's going to choke your faith. The children of Israel long for the comforts of Egypt, and we can fall into that same trap. We can look at the lives of other people, and at any time, comparison is the enemy of contentment. Comparison is the enemy of contentment. The moment that you start comparing your life to someone else is the moment that your faith will begin to decrease. Because you have no idea what other people's home is like when they go home and shut the door. People have crazy lives, right? And you might think, man, they got it all together. They got two nice kids. They got their health. They got this. And listen, as a pastor, I've counseled some folks over the years, and I'm like, man, you folks are crazy. And everyone thinks that you've got it all together. And listen, and just so that we're all on the same page, none of us have it together. Right? And so for the children of Israel, they longed for the perceived comforts of Egypt. And so their heart was tied to their need for food. And it created an anxiety. And we live in a culture that struggles with this very much so. I know. But the only cure for this type of anxiety is to pursue the kingdom of God. Didn't Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you? Didn't he say that the birds of the air, they do not even worry about where they're going to get their food? That the lilies, they toil? I mean, the lilies don't even worry about how they're going to come and go or come and grow. God knows all of these things. And for you and me, the responsibility we have is to focus on God and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You might write this down, but tying your heart to the temporary is a trap that will ruin your faith. Tying your heart to the temporary is a trap that will ruin your faith. It's not how you get out of this. Most of us are just trying to think through, you know, how do I get out of this moment? How do I get out of this situation? It's not how do I get out of it. It's what can I learn from it? How can I know God more? Now, I want to look with me in verse 8. Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. And listen what he says. What are we? And I love what he says here. Your grumbling is not against us, but it's against the Lord. And I just want to make a little side note here, because don't run with people. Please write this down. Don't run with people that will not elevate your faith, okay? Don't run with people that are not going to coach you up, that aren't going to encourage you, that aren't going to try to get you down. Moses is doing that to the people of God. There are broken people. There are people that are desperate, but yet doubting God. And he says, you're grumbling. He was honest enough with him to say, your grumbling is not against me and Aaron. It's against God. Your problem is not with me. Your problem is not with your spouse this morning. Your problem is not with your boss. Kids, your problem is not with your mom and dad this morning. Your problem that you have today is with God. And you need to come to terms with that. Because we have a sovereign God who in his providence works all things together for our good and for his glory. And so if you know someone struggling right now, instead of being critical, how about you put your arm around them and pray for them and encourage their faith and speak truth or the promises of God into their situation in life. Focus on the problem will devour your faith. You cannot expect faith to move forward when people around you, listen, are pulling you in different directions. Run with the right crowd. That's not just for kids and teenagers. I've seen so many adults start running with goofy people and their faith just goes sideways. All right? Amen? Number two, focus on the process will develop our faith. We see that in verse number 4. You know, the Bible says that God was going to test them. He was going to test them. And I'm not going to read the passage again, but God's people needed to learn, much like us. I mean, you know, our faith isn't developed because of one event. You don't just get saved and get handed a box full of faith, all right? Bam, you just believe. Bam, no more doubts. Bam, no more fears. No. Like the children of Israel, our faith needs to grow. Our faith is strengthened every single time that we trust God. The word prove or the word test in this passage of scripture means to prove. It means to learn the true nature of something. I mentioned Job 23:10 last week but he knows the way that I take, and when he tried me, I will come forth as gold. He's making us pure and stronger and more valuable as he elevates our faith. Listen, if you believe that God's goal is to make you happy, you're going to have a hard time in this life. The purpose of God is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy. And if you think that it's God's purpose to make you happy, like your best life now and getting the best parking spot when you pull into the super center, all right? That's not God's plan for your life. And I just know that because I never get the good spot, which is why I don't go to the Supercenter. I go to Target. I'm just kidding. Somebody's going to be upset that I went to Target because they might support something that I'm not aware of. But if you believe that God's here to make you happy, you'll live life frustrated and bitter and disillusioned because you don't understand what God's up to. Holiness, not happiness, is God's plan for your life. And if you want your faith to grow, if you want your faith to be elevated, then you're going to focus on the process because it's going to develop your faith. Accept what God sends in your life, whether you understand it or not, because when you acknowledge the problems are part of the process, you begin to look at how God might use those setbacks, those problems, those difficulties, that adversity to increase your faith. Just this week, I was getting to know the staff, and I was speaking to Robert, our student minister, and he was sharing with me how God has called he and his wife Amy to adopt. She has something that's called secondary infertility, where you can have one child, but then later on you end up becoming infertile for medical reasons. And so they made a decision to adopt. And I don't know if you know anything about adoption, but it certainly isn't cheap. And so you've got two incredibly huge setbacks right there. You know, you can't have a child, and it's expensive to pay for that. Both of these situations, in my mind, seem incredibly insurmountable. And emotionally, if you're a female, you understand how draining that can be. There's a lot of emotion tied to a woman's ability to have a child. I mean, there's a lot tied to that. And yet, in the midst of this, they see an opportunity to trust God and pursue the purpose that he has for them. They both decided that God wanted them to step out in faith and to adopt. Even though it would be a struggle, even though it would be a financial burden. They applied for a grant through the Stephen Curtis Foundation, and they got money, and now they're in a position to bring a child into their home. You know, I'd never want to minimize the problems that we face, even in Robert and Amy's life, but I want you to see the process that God is using to develop your faith just when you get to a place of trust. And ultimately what it is a place of surrender. It's a moment of saying, okay, God, I don't got this. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know why I'm going through it, but I'm going to yield to what it is, whatever it is that you're up to. Because see, when you focus on the process, the problems become a part of what God is using to bless your life. Certainly no one would want to say, you know, I'll take on infertility so that I could adopt the child that's in need of a home. Certainly, none of us would say, just sign me up for the pain and the hurt that might incur. But instead of focusing on the process and or the problem, we look at the process and we look at the purpose of God and we see how God uses these problems to build out our faith. And so the last thought I have for you this morning is this: focusing on God, that's going to deepen your faith. And we see that in verses 6 through 10. And ultimately, like Israel, that was their problem and that's our problem. Because see, our natural tendency, you know, I don't know about you, man, but I'm a fixer, you know? I see something, I just want to fix it. And you know, it's one of the reasons that I've struggled to counsel with my own wife and my kids is because I'm a horrible counselor to them because I know the problems, I know how to fix it. If they'll just do what I say, everything's going to be good. But apparently no one likes to listen to me at the house. I'm teasing. But our natural tendency is to look at a problem and just think, how am I going to fix this? And can I just say, some things don't need to be fixed. Sometimes we just need to step into a moment and experience faith and experience the presence of God. Sometimes God doesn't have a solution, and sometimes there might not be a solution, and sometimes we might just have to live in that moment for a second. He wants us to step forward in his presence. You see, resources aren't our problem. A lack of faith is. That's the issue for many of us. Resources are not our problem. Ultimately, many times, it's not just a lack of faith, it's a lack of obedience. Just doing what we know that God wants us to do. Our obedience is a demonstration of our trust in God, and God wants us to go deeper with him. I remember back in 2007, I've mentioned this, and you're going to get filled out on my story over time. Many of you don't know me, but God called me to plant a church. I was at BBC, I was at Baptist Bible College, and I was sitting there at Fellowship Week, and Bill Monroe, a pastor from South Carolina, got up in the pulpit, and he said there was a day when our young men would see a piece of dirt and dream a church on it. And in that moment, I knew Man, I knew God wanted me to plant a church. I knew God wanted to be involved and wanted me to be involved in church planting. So in 2007, my wife and our two baby girls went out and we planted what is known today as Jackson Creek. And in 2008, we began our first building project, raised close to $500,000. Little did I know, as a 28-year-old, in a first-time church plant, first-time building project, that we were about to go through the most difficult time financially since the Great Depression. I remember waking up in the middle of the night with chest pains and shortness of breath. I remember laying laying on the couch in our downstairs of our home on 329 Blaine and just feeling lost and wondering what God was going to do. I remember one morning I was so discouraged. I'm not kidding. I woke up and I got out of bed and we had these closets, these little walk-in closets, and I walked into one of them and I stepped into that closet and I just started crying and I started weeping. And my wife comes in and she says, "What is wrong?" And I don't cry a lot unless I'm watching Rudy. You know, when they lift him up at the end of that movie, that just gets me every time. Rudy, Rudy, you know? But I stood in that closet and I started crying and I couldn't pull it together. April comes into the room and says, "What is wrong with you?" I said, I've ruined this church. I've ruined my ministry, my calling. God is going to shelve me. I'm such a poser. The kids are going to grow up with a dad that's a nerd. I mean, I don't know. I remember calling my pastor, Mark Hodges in Florida, and I said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He said, "Jason, you know what to do. You need to trust God. It ain't rocket science. You be faithful to God. You stand in this moment, and over time, God's people will follow. God will provide. God will do his best work in you right now if you'll just stand faithful in this moment." And friends, I want to tell you, over the years, God continued to bless. Were there moments where I didn't know what to do? Were there moments of doubt and discouragement? Were there moments of setback? Absolutely. And I'm just telling you today, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I have it all together, that I have this incredible faith. If I take the shirt off today, I don't have a Superman logo on my chest. No, man, I am a struggler with you in this. We all have moments of doubt. We all have moments of discouragement. We all have those moments where we wonder, "God, I know you can deliver, and I know you're going to work all things together for good." But we just doubt how and when. Every single time there was a need, God showed up. He provided. But you know what was greater than God providing for our needs as a church and our needs as a family? Just knowing that he was near. God was near. And I hate to say it, but isn't it true in our lives that when we focus in on God and we allow the problem to get out into the peripheral and we lean into who God is, isn't it amazing how near God becomes to us? And those moments of nearness are more valuable than the solution and the deliverance that he provides. Amen? And I just want to say to you this morning, who God is will always take you farther than what God can do. You're always going to have need. You're always going to have a lack of resources. There's always going to be something that's a setback, a disappointment, or a difficulty. Those things are going to happen because we live in a broken world. But who God is, knowing who he is, resting in who he is, will always take you farther than what he can do. Faith isn't about resources. It's not about resources. It wasn't about the bread. It wasn't about the quail. It wasn't about the water. Faith isn't about resources, it's about our relationship to who God is. It's about who God is and who he is to you. Because in your moment of desperation, will you be found to be in a place of discouragement and doubt? Or will that be a moment of utter dependence on God? You see, the more we walk with God, the more we'll trust him. And if you don't start trusting God, your faith will not grow. When we focus on God, he'll carry us from situation to situation. And we look to a sovereign God and a loving Father. I think some of us need to realize that this morning, because, I mean, it's taken me years to understand that. Because if you grew up in a home with a dad that was disconnected or aloof or abusive or whatever, you really don't get how much God loves you. My friend Tom Wagner, who Lord willing will come and preach for us here in January, he said, man, God loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Amen? That's how much God loves you. So when you go through difficulty and you go through adversity and setbacks, it ain't because God's mad at you. No, man, God loves you. He is a loving Father, and he is in control of all things. You see, we as God's people don't have resource problems. We have faith problems. The children of Israel would have never known the victories they were going to have until they had faith in God, listen, in the daily little things. So I'm going to tell you today, God will take what little faith you have, and he'll meet us where we are. That's what I love about God. You know, back in 07, 08, 09, God didn't shelve me. And there's been other times in other seasons where I've responded really well, and other times where I've been such a poser, I just felt like, man, why am I even doing this? And yet God, in his relentless love for me, continued to help me move forward. Because even when we're unfaithful, like the children of Israel, God is, come on, God is, he's faithful. Say it out loud. God is, he's faithful. He's faithful. So you want some good news this morning? How many of you want some good news? Say amen. Amen. Here's the good news. God's looking for the desperate. He's looking for the dependent. God will supply your needs and he'll sustain your faith if you'll just obey him. Louis Giglio says, don't lose heart in your hardship. You may not see the purpose right now, but that's through our lens. In God's hands, our hardship can be used to change things eternally in extraordinary ways. God's not leading us to the safest path forward, but to the one where we're going to grow the most. Whatever path you're on is not the safest, but it's the one that God is going to grow you the most. In the middle, right now, you might find yourself in the middle of a difficult situation. You might find yourself in a difficult moment even this morning. You may feel like you're going to die. Or like you're going to die. You might feel worthless this morning. You might feel like there's no hope in sight. And yet we read the scriptures and we find that God is at work in the worst parts of our lives. And friends, I want you to know, if you'll just crawl to him in faith, he's going to strengthen you. And if you can't crawl, if you cry out to him, he'll come running. You realize that God wants to bless your life? Do you realize that today? God wants to bless your life in innumerable ways. Yeah, that's right. Just like the people of God in the Old Testament, God wants to bless your life. Now, for that blessing to occur, he's going to have to elevate our faith. And in order to do that, he's going to test us. And our faith must be focused on him. And so I say to you again this morning, a focused faith is the key to a life of blessing. Now, how many of you want that blessing in your life? Say amen. Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness, even when we're not faithful to you. God, we're quick to thank you for the good times, but we certainly hesitate to thank you in the hard times. I certainly can't imagine, for many of us, how difficult 2020 has been. But even though it's been difficult, you've been good. You've been faithful. And you've provided all along the way. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to continue in a moment of prayer. But how many of you'd say this morning, Pastor, my focus has not been on God, and I want God to bless me, and I want to focus on him. Just lift your hand, and I'm going to send up a word of prayer for you here in just a moment. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Lift it up. Let me pray for you and with you today. Yes, yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, sir. In the back, I see your hand. Yes. Father in heaven, you see the hands of these dear folks today, and it's be very easy for us, Lord, to just kind of move along to the next thing today. But God, your will and your plan for us is to grow in grace, to grow in faith, to be a people desperate and dependent for more of you. And I pray that over these dear folks today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.